Are you ready to rock your profits? It's time for Finance Rockstar Radio. Author, speaker, and accomplished air guitar player, your host is Nicole Fendi, the Numbers Whisperer. This show is for entertainment purposes only and is not intended for financial, tax, or legal advice.
Good morning, and welcome into this week's episode of Finance Rockstar Radio. I am Nicole Fendi, your host and the Numbers Whisperer. Today, we're going to talk about client avatars and how they can make you a lot of money. That's right. It sounds a little silly, and I know at times people say, well, come on, really? Client avatars? Nicole, are you kidding me? No, I'm not. And we're going to talk about the way, all the different ways, they can drive your profit. And first, we're going to even talk about what are they? Because I find a lot of times people think, well, an avatar, what is that? Is that like my gravatar, the image, my user icon when I'm, logged into something? No, but it's a good first start. A client avatar is a way of personalizing who you're selling to. Not just that, we're not talking about an actual person, although it can be modeled after an actual person or business. A client avatar is intended to represent your ideal client, your ideal customer. If you could wave a magic wand and hire your ideal client or customer, or attract your ideal client or customer, that would be, the sky, the heavens would sing, the clouds would part, the sun would shine, and they'd be right there. And that is, it sounds easier than it is, but it's also compellingly profitable. I'm actually going to start with, how can you make profit from them? And then I'm going to tell you some tips and tricks on how to create your very own client avatar or avatars, plural. I think it's really important to know that you can have multiple client avatars. Now, this is not an excuse for you to create 20 different client avatars, because unless you're a Fortune 100 company, you don't have the time or energy to pursue 20 client avatars, and all you're doing is diluting yourself, your brand, your business, and your profits. Yes, it will give you watered down profits. Nobody wants watered down profits, unless you're a water company. But I guess water is increased profits. Anyway, so what we're going to do first is talk about how does a client avatar help you make more money. Well, let's think about what are the main obstacles or challenges that any small business faces. Okay, a big one. I need more sales. I have never, I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but in my personal experience, I've never met a small business that says, I have too many leads. Too many good leads, or too many new clients. I've never met a small business owner who says that. They might say, I need more help executing, I need more help managing them, but I've never heard somebody say, no, don't send me good leads for my ideal client. You know why? Because usually they aren't really targeting that ideal client, and that's where you need to start, because think about it. Let's take music, because of course this is Finance Rockstar Radio. Okay, if someone's hosting a country music festival, their ideal client is probably not a country music festival. Their ideal client is probably not a hip hop dancer who buys all the music by Usher or whoever. That's not my hip hop's not really my thing, so I couldn't tell you for sure. Okay, and vice versa, there it's also probably not people who, let's say, like heavy metal or punk rock. I don't think you're gonna. Now, I'm not saying it's impossible, but let's look at the majority here. You're not going for the outlier. How are you gonna make the most money in your business? How is a country music festival or concert going to make the most money? Well, they want to fill the stadium, right? They want to sell out the tickets. How do you sell out the tickets? Well, you've got to attract your ideal customer, people who love country music, people who, what else? People who have the money to spend to go see country music, people who are able to get out and watch country music. Now, you're not going to, if you're having a festival or concert, another limiting factor is your location, right? It doesn't make sense for me to advertise a concert that's happening in Minnesota to people who live in Arizona or people who live in California. They're not going to come to Minnesota, particularly in the dead of winter, to see a country festival. It's not going to happen. So if I spend all my time and resources, stay with me, if I spend all my time and resources trying to recruit or promote to country music fans that live in California or Texas to come to Minnesota in the middle of the winter, how successful do you think I'm going to be? How much money am I going to make? How much profit am I going to earn? Try a big fat zero. Because I'm not going after my ideal client. You need to know who they are. Now, I realize this is a pretty straightforward example, but I'm starting with this. You can see how that client drives, that avatar helps you focus and helps you grow your bottom line. Because as much as you would like to think the following, as much as you'd like to think that you have something everybody on the planet wants. Of course they do. Now, as much as you want to think that, you don't. Your market is not everybody with a pulse, or as Nick Armstrong of WTF Marketing said recently, everybody who fogs a mirror. Your market is not, as my good friend Tori Doe said of Quirkypreneurs, it is not everybody with a cerebral cortex. And basically a brainstem. That is not who your market is. And as hard as it is to give that up, it's actually by deluding yourself. You know, if you're trying to market, like my example, a country musical festival that's in Minnesota in the middle of the winter to people who either never listen to country music, even if they live here, or people who just, it's not for them. Or people who live far away and have no interest in visiting a cold climate in the middle of the winter, it's not going to work. Even if they're a really big country music fan, the odds of somebody buying a ticket to fly from California to Minnesota in the dead of winter to watch a festival, pretty low. Not impossible, but low. So if you have limited budget, and I don't know anybody who's got an unlimited marketing budget. That's a small business. You want to focus on where can you get the most bang for your buck. That's why you go back to your client avatar. If you're having a country music festival and it's in a certain location, well, right then and there, your avatar should be able to access that location very easily. Meaning they could live in the city or they live within, let's say, driving distance. They might even be willing to pay for an overnight hotel. So you've limited yourself geographically. Okay, but honestly, I'm not a big country music fan. I am not their target market. I'm not going to pay money to go see a country music festival. I'm just not. So they don't want to market to people like me. They don't want to market on the radio stations I listen to, which don't play country music, because the odds of a big fan who's going to fork over money listening on those stations is again low. Not impossible, but low. So if you only have enough for, let's say, 10 radio spots, where are you going to put them? On the country music stations in your area, right? Now, you might also have a tie-in. So, this is what you can look at. So, that's like the most obvious. But as you dig into a client avatar, there are other things you find out. You may find out there, maybe the gender determines, is a man more likely to want to buy tickets to a country music festival, or is a woman more likely to buy tickets? I don't know, because again, it's not my type of music. I really don't know. If you have data on that, you can really target one or the other. Are there. Could you get a local country music bar or, music hall or whatever to co-promote? Where do these people go to hang out? Where do they spend their time? Physically and then online. So far we've talked, physically in the real world, not online. Because you know what? People still live and breathe in the real world and you can reach them there as long as you're very targeted. Because it's much more expensive to do things IRL in real life than it is to do it online through social media. It just is. But you can also very much segment. Okay, who listens to the country music stations? Well, yeah, those are the most likely people to buy it. You find potential partners. Then, now you see the reason why we can narrow down the niche and create the client avatar is. We're starting to talk about who's likely to spend this money. Who's likely to attend this event? Because it's not everybody who fogs a mirror. And we start with the obvious ones. Okay? Then you might say, well, do they shop in certain places? Are there certain restaurants they go to? Okay, again, that's all in the real world. Let's flip over to social media for a minute because. Your market, whoever your clients and customers are, they're not create they the social media is not created equal for them. If you're a B2C, meaning if you're a business to consumer, your end customer is the consumer, the retail consumer, it doesn't make sense to sell on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is really geared towards a professional environment, whether it's B2B or businesses looking to hire and find talent for their business, it is not where consumers go to buy things. And they're just gonna, that's just not even on their mind when they're there. Even Facebook may or may not be the right place because some people get annoyed. In fact, the highest conversion rate for things that are B2C online is actually Pinterest. Yes, Pinterest. The question then is, do your potential clients go to Pinterest? Does your client avatar like to hang out on Pinterest, pin things, like things, or just surf there? Because if nobody's out there that would buy from you on Pinterest, it still doesn't make sense to go there, even if there's a high conversion rate. Because if zero people are looking, even 100% of zero is still zero. Yes, I am the numbers whisperer. So the more. You can create an avatar, basically an imaginary person who's your idealized customer or client, but it has to be based on their real behavior. You can't say, well, my perfect customer or client would just call me up and say, I want to buy everything. Okay. Yeah, not going to work out for you. That's why I recommend to people to look at an actual customer or client that is as close to your ideal as possible. Ask them, how did you find me? Where do you spend your time? Or at least look at behaviors. So I guess we're starting to get into more about how, and I want to back up for a second. So we talked a bit about you need to target the people who even have the possibility of buying from you. And a client avatar will help you do that. You also need to look at because obviously you don't want to be trying to, you don't want to spend all your money marketing to a person who's not even ever going to buy a ticket or buy your service, like the country music thing. You could spend $1 million trying to convince me to go to a country music festival, and I still won't go. Maybe if you paid me $1 million, I would go. And it's nothing against country. Everyone has the kind of music they like and they don't like. It's not my thing. You could, unless you were paying me to attend, which of course there is no profit in that. Unless you were paying me to attend, I'm not going to go, no matter how much money you spend. So you're wasting your money marketing to me. Not true for those who like country music. Your possible conversion rate just shot way up if you're marketing to somebody who actually occasionally even flips on the country music station. So it's not just, okay, how do we, who can we sell to? It's the conversion rate being someone hears or sees, your offer and decides to purchase it. And the higher that is, obviously, the more money you make. Because if you tell 10 people about your offer and only one buys, versus if you tell 10 people about your offer and five buy, well, of course you'd like the five. That's the higher conversion rate. It's a 50% conversion rate rather than a 10% conversion rate. The higher your conversion rate, the more money you make. Your conversion rate will be higher as you are more targeted to people who will possibly, your most ideal client that would possibly even want to purchase what you have to offer. Because it's not everybody who fogs a mirror. Would be nice, but it's not going to happen. Now, the other thing, like I said, was you're talking about their characteristics as far as their likes, their dislikes, their needs. If you were doing a business to business, which is what I do, it doesn't make sense for me to go after businesses that have huge profit margins and they love numbers and they don't need any help with their finances. That's not my market. They don't need me. It would be silly for me to market my services to finance professionals. They don't need me. Why would I waste my time? Because you know what? I'm back to that 0% conversion rate. That's not to say some of my clients aren't very good at math or that they don't understand accounting and the like. I'm talking about someone who has a similar background to me, let's say a peer, a former CFO or a current chief financial officer. They should already have the knowledge I have. So why am I selling it to them? They have to have that need. If you are looking to market, say, internet connection. Now, there's not too many businesses in today's world, I would say, don't need an internet connection, but there are a few. But who's most likely to want an internet connection? Well, somebody, let's say, who does a lot of live streaming. Here's an example. Businesses that, like our dog, the doggy daycare here. The doggy daycare here that we use for our very lovable large Irish setter has cams, webcams in the playrooms. So you can check on your dog anytime. Well, they obviously need internet, or that's not going to work. Wi-Fi service. Any coffee shop anywhere now has to offer free Wi-Fi. So if I were someone who offered Wi-Fi setup, Wi-Fi services, upgrades, I don't know. I don't know all the details of how you set up Wi-Fi for a business. I have it at home, but that's different. Well, man, I'd start with the coffee shops because they're going to want it. And then I'd probably look at maybe restaurants and libraries. I mean, there's a lot of places. You look at what they need or want. What they think they need or want. That's a huge distinction. What they think they need or want. I might think a business needs me, but if they don't share that belief, they're never going to hire me. So how do you create these avatars? Well, I gave you one example already, but we're going to talk about a couple other techniques and options and resources you can use to create your own client avatar. If you already have clients, because I realize maybe you're just starting out and you don't, okay. But if you already have clients, then I'd recommend taking a few minutes and thinking about, of all my clients, if I could clone one of them. Whether it's a business or a consumer, whatever it may be, if all my clients, if I could take one and clone them, who would it be? And get them in your mind. Now, I'm not saying you have to name them, like avatar after that particular person or name, but what I want you to do is pull out a sheet of paper and just start writing about them. What do you know about them? What kind of business is it? Or what kind of person is it? If it's a, is it a single young man? Is it a family, a married woman with two kids and a career? I mean, tell me, about them. Anything you know about the person who's making the purchase or the business making the purchase, write it down. Just stream of consciousness. Now, if you don't have a client yet, I hope you do, but if you don't, there are some other options you can use to help you get started. One book that I really love is The Right Brain Business Plan by Jennifer Lee. I love to recommend this book, and every person I've ever recommended it to that's bought it has come back and said, "Oh my goodness, it was so worth the money." Jennifer Lee talks about how to make right brain using your creative side to do a business plan. And she has tips in here about how do you, she may not call it an avatar, I'm trying to remember, but how do you get a handle on your right person? What you could do too is imagine your core service or offering. So you get that in your head and think, okay, who's ideally suited for that? Where might I find them? Where might they hang out? And maybe you have in your mind a person or business you'd like to sell it to. Well, even though they're not currently a client, look at where that person or business spends their time. What characteristics can you write down about them? Another great book that is a wonderful resource is called Duct Tape Marketing. Duct Tape Marketing by John Jantz. And he talks about your ideal client. That's his terminology, is your ideal client. It's the same process. I mean, it's the same concept of, how do you, find them? And he talks about researching their behavior, creating the biographical sketch. And to me, that's the client avatar. So using social media to add focus. He's absolutely right. You can look at their the current or hopeful client avatars or clients' experience online. Where are they spending their time? Is it mainly on LinkedIn? Is it mainly on Facebook? Is it on Twitter? Is it on Pinterest? Is it YouTube? Where do they seem to interact the most? What are they talking about? What hashtags do they use? What other businesses are they visiting? Anything to get to expand it, because here's probably the best thing for me. A good friend of yours, let's say, is having a big birthday. Maybe it's the big 4-0. I just celebrated my 40th birthday, and you can read all about it on my blog, as well as some great guest blogs about the number 40. And that's at thenumberswhisperer.com. So let's say a friend of yours is having the big 4-0. Well, you want to make it special, right? You want to make it stand out and be remembered. Well, you're going to want to maybe do an event, buy a present. How do you know what to do? I mean, if it's a girly girl, you're not going to want to have a football themed party, right? If it's a guy that loves Frank Sinatra, that would be my husband, you don't want to have hire a metal band to play at the party. It's not not going to go over too well. And what kind of present would you get them? You know what, how, again, you would, if someone is vehemently hates running, you don't get them running shoes. When you're looking to craft an offering to your ideal client, in a sense, it's like planning a party or getting a gift for someone. You have to know, the more you know about them, the more likely it is to be successful and well received. I mean, if someone just came up to you and said, "I need to get a gift for my 40-year-old friend." Okay. Is the gift because they're turning 40? Is it a man or a woman? What do they like? I mean, just think of all the questions that would go through your head. I don't know. I mean, at least they gave you the age. If you just try to kind of magic up a product out of thin air, well, who the heck knows who'd want it or why? Imagine it's a gift, and really, not that you're not getting paid for your product or service, because of course you should get paid and make a profit. But in a sense, it is a gift. You are giving of yourself to them. Now, of course, they're paying for it, but if you know, you don't want to become the equivalent of the ugly sweater contest at Christmas. Oh my God, this offering was so bad. I must admit, and I won't give the URL, but there is a website dedicated to really bad book covers, like the illustration. Oh my goodness, there are some really bad book covers out there. If you're ever bored, go look. But you don't want to be the ugly sweater equivalent of client products, you know, or services. It shouldn't be, "Oh my God, why would I ever buy that?" It should be, "Oh, it's what I've always wanted. Oh, it's what I always needed. Oh, it's going to save my company." Not, "Okay, how quickly can I get rid of it?" No ugly sweater syndrome. So even though, yes, we're talking about finance and numbers, a client avatar is a key component to your profit, whether you want to call it a biographical sketch, you know, a summary, a whatever. The more you can organize about your target client, your target customer, the one who's the perfect fit for you, the more you can understand about their needs, their desires, their spending patterns, where they spend their time online, offline, everything else, the better you can make it for them. So instead of ugly sweater, you have, "Oh my goodness, I can't ever imagine a better gift and a better party. Thank you so much." Isn't that the response you want? Well, it starts there because you can't customize for someone you don't know. If I say I need a gift for somebody and that's all I say, well, wow, okay. You know, maybe what I mean is I need a gift for my 4-year-old. What's going to make her happy is a lot different than what's going to make a 40-year-old happy. That's why the avatar is so important. It provides a focus and a just a focus to really hone in and meet their needs. Because at the end of the day, it's not about you. I know. You think it's all about you. It's all about me, too. It's not about you. It's about them. And a client avatar keeps the focus where it needs to be, on the client. Years ago, when I worked in life insurance, yes, pricing life insurance. Yippee, very exciting. I remember my boss saying to me, and he was not a sales guy, he was an actuary. I remember him saying to me, "Nicole, never forget, we don't generate money. The salespeople selling to the clients, that's where the money comes from. If consumers don't buy our insurance, we won't have a job. Put the focus where it belongs." I thought that was very telling, and it stuck with me all these years because it was a wonderful piece of advice and a reminder to focus on the client and to respect the salespeople and what they did. Because if they didn't do their job in reaching our clients, I wouldn't have a job. I wouldn't have a paycheck. That's it for today. I'm Nicole Fendi, the Numbers Whisperer, and author of How to Be a Finance Rockstar. We'll hear every week, Wednesday, 11 Central, which is 12 Eastern, and 9 a.m. Pacific, and globally, I'm sorry, maybe go to Google and find out the time changes. Of course, you can also get replays here, and we will soon be on iTunes. In the meantime, until next week, remember, profit is not a luxury.